going to send Kristaps Porzingis and a second-round pick to the Hawks. So Kristaps Porzingis is also gone. Terrence Mann and Atlanta's number 22 pick are going to the Nets. George's Niang and a second-rounder are coming back to the Celtics. The Celtics' Chris Forsberg apparently loved themselves some second-round picks because they now have about 47 of them, it feels like, over the course of this draft and the next. What do you make of this trade for Kristaps Porzingis?
Yeah, my first instinct was to start looking at the money. And so you've got a situation where Kristaps Porzingis was making nearly $30 million. George's Niang is at $8.5 million. You're going to save $22 million there. That gets you below the second apron. You are now able to unlock some of the restrictions. You maybe have the opportunity to entertain some of the big man that you want to bring back, either Al Horford or Luke Kornet. But again, I'm not sure this is the last domino. I've been told before this all started that once the dominoes start going, they're all going.
High noon, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. It's a Wednesday.
And it's the return of Pure Hoops with Terp.
Yes.
Justin Turpin, WEEI. Check him out at Justin Turpin on Twitter. His coverage all over WEEI and the Odyssey app as well. Terp, what's up?
What's up? Nothing really to talk about, right?
No. You called it, though. You said this was going to happen soon.
Tried to warn us.
He did. He tried to warn us.
Monday morning, he's like, yeah, guys, I know we're talking on Wednesday, but I think a lot of this stuff's going to go down before the draft. And we're like, yeah, Terp, whatever.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, boom, Jrue Holiday late night trade, Porzingis last night. So they've been active. Let me catch you up to speed on the latest, if we can, Terp.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll circle back.
Let's do it.
Windhorse says teams in the top 10 are lining up to make offers for Jaylen Brown and Derek White, though he believes ultimately both will remain with the Boston Celtics. Brett Siegel of Clutch Points.
Clutch Points.
Who looks young enough to be Terp's kid.
Yeah.
Like, this guy looks young.
Okay, young gun. Okay, well, I mean, good.
He looks
up
like
and comer.
He looks like a young gun.
I like it.
He's hearing Jaylen Brown has been a hot name trending in trades around the league. The Utah Jazz, who's GM, president of basketball ops, whatever his title is Danny Ainge.
Yes.
Made an aggressive push in the last couple of days to try and acquire him. League sources tell Clutch Points. What's the likelihood Jaylen Brown is on the move, Utah or anywhere else?
I don't see it. I mean, I guess with Utah with the fifth pick, obviously there's a Boston connection with two Ainges now in Utah, but I just don't see them moving off Jaylen Brown. I think for the most part, fans understood what was going on with the second apron, that they had to get under there for the restrictions, the penalties, whether or not you agree with it, that's a different story. But if you get under the second apron and then trade Jaylen Brown or Derek White, I think that's where you run out of your free pass, right? In a way, they have a pass to kind of maneuver the way they've done things and the way they've operated because people understand they have to do it. But this is a new ownership group coming in now. They've accomplished the goal that they wanted, and they're not done yet, right? They're only $4.5 million under. There are more moves to come, but you're going to run out of that pass if you turn around and trade Jaylen Brown or Derek White. Those are the guys that everyone kind of feels the feeling around is that they are going to build around them and Jason Tatum. And if you go off and offload one of them, that's how you really set a bad tone to the beginning of your ownership.
And I know this is a salary dump, like very clearly this is what they're doing, but I feel like it's a little bit different. So like when you look at the Red Sox, Rafael Devers was having an all-star season.
Right.
Kristaps Porzingis played half a season and not in the playoffs. And then when he did play in the playoffs, he was tired after games. Like, I feel like, yeah, the return wasn't great for Porzingis, but you just couldn't rely on him. Like, I feel like a lot of fans probably feel the way I do, where you're like, all right, nice player. Thanks for the run on the title. But without Tatum next year, you need guys that are going to play and guys that you can rely on. So this sort of had to happen. Like, Porzingis being gone, like, okay, like, I don't think you're not losing the guy that you're like, oh, he could be 20 points per game and like 7 rebounds. Like, that guy's not really there. You can't rely on him.
I will say I am a little bit worried for what it means for the offense now, though, and the defense at that. I mean, when he was on the floor, he did give them an entire other element that took them to another level. I know it was sparingly. We actually looked
at
it this
morning. And, like, two playoff runs, though,
two playoff
where, like, you
runs.
Couldn't even count on.
And I think the last one this year,
yeah.
I mean, when they needed him most, when
right.
they were going stagnant against New York, they went out and got Kristaps Porzingis for that reason, to get the offense back on track when that was happening, and he wasn't able to do it. So I think people did sour on him pretty quickly. And when it's all said and done, people will look back on his tenure here and be relatively happy, right? They won a championship. Game one alone, I think, was worth it. Like, you come out right out of the gates, and he just punches Dallas in the mouth. It really felt like there was no recovering from that for Dallas. Like, the Celtics right away flexed their muscles and said, we are a better team, and Kristaps Porzingis was right in the middle of that. But I do think people are a little bit upset, and rightfully so, about how – actually, I don't even think. I know people are upset about how how he played in the playoffs this year. But, you know, he did bring another element. Now you're kind of left, what are you going to do now when the offense slows down a little bit? Because he was, as much as he wasn't in the playoffs, for the time being that he was here, he was the guy that got them back on track. And that's why they went out and got him, right? Because they couldn't beat his own against Miami. They went out to a guy who's kind of matchup proof, and it worked for the most part, but it didn't at the end. Mm. But I am a little bit worried for what that means now. And the moves aren't done yet, so we'll see.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask you about. I don't like the Porzingis move. If I told fans yesterday all you were getting for Porzingis was Niang and a second-round pick, fans wouldn't have wanted to do that. Now, I understand the cap savings or getting under the second apron. I understand all that. They could have taken more money back and gotten a better return. They chose to prioritize savings. I don't like this one. I do like the Jrue Holiday trade, and I thought they did much better on that trade than I expected them to do. Keith and I both like Anfernee Simons. Is he going to be here, or is he going to get flipped?
See, that's the issue, is if they hang on to him, he'd be the fourth highest paid player on the roster this year. And when you're just looking at it, right, if you're assuming his extension's going to be in the neighborhood of where he's at right now, it's going to be between $25 and $30 million per year. They just jumped off Jrue Holiday's salary that would be close to $30 million a year. So you're really not going to save much than what you were with Jrue Holiday. So I just feel it's going to be tough for them to extend him. So if you're looking towards the future, right, are you going to really want to hang on to Anfernee Simons? And I'm a big fan of his. I think he would be a great fit in the system, specifically offensively. And even defensively, I think being around better defenders in a scheme that has proven to work. I think what Joe Mazzulla has done with the defense is kind of overlooked. They finished second, and fourth in defensive rating since Joe Mazzulla's been here. So the defense has been good. So I think that would help him as well. But when you're just looking at the future, right, it's all about complementing this team when Jason Tatum gets back. What is the cupboard going to look like? What are the surrounding assets going to look like when Jason Tatum gets back? And is Anfernee Simons fitting in on that timeline, just given what his extension would cost? It's just kind of tough to justify it. So maybe they hang on to him and move him at the deadline. Teams are always looking for shooters, especially a guy that would be on an expiring deal. And he could really prove himself in this really, I mean, like the Celtics are going to play fast this year and he's going to fit in well. So we'll see. I just don't see him factoring into the future plans just because of the financial standpoint. Like, you just went under the second apron. The plan would not be to go right back into it.
So two, I guess, questions about as it relates to Simons. Obviously, Holiday's had the better career, but for the next 3 years, who do you think will be the better NBA player, Anfernee Simons or Jrue Holiday?
I would go Anfernee Simons, and same. If you factor in the contract as well, like that Jrue Holiday contract towards the end, when he's 38 and making like $30 million a year,
yeah, more.
That's going to look pretty tough. Yeah. And we saw him drop off a little bit last year, too. The shooting efficiency, I mean, especially
that's
the three.
That's what I'm thinking. And my other point, though, on Simons would be, I agree with you. I don't know if he's somebody that you want to commit $25, $30 million to for multiple years. But knowing that you have 1 year without Tatum, which is 20 shots a game and 30 points a game, and the Eastern Conference is wide open, wouldn't you almost say, hey, we'll take this guy. He's kind of a mercenary. We'll take him for 1 year, and then we'll just let his contract expire, but we're gonna use his offense this year while Tatum's gone.
Yeah, I actually crunched some numbers on this just to kind of put it into perspective as well for Jason Tatum and what they're missing with him in the offense.
Sick breath.
I walked right into that one.
Nice.
26.8 points per game for Tatum last year. That was 23% of the team total. 20.3 shots, that was 22% of the team total, and he had 6.0 assists, that was 23% of the team total. So you're looking at like a quarter of the team total in points, shots, assists. Yeah. Like, you need to make that ground up somewhere.
I'm sorry, that's just Tatum. That's not even factoring Tatum in what you lost with Holiday, too.
Correct. That's just and Porzingis. Right. So you just think of all the ground that needs to be made up on the offense, and what you're getting in Anfernee Simons is a capable combo guard.
I think he's a
guard,
great like 1 year guy. Like, I don't need to have him. I don't need to commit multiple years to him. I'd use him for this year. See if you can get hot, have a good offense, maybe surprise the people in the East. Like, I think that's a good investment. It also is like you're not punting on the season. It's something there. And then let Brad figure out who he wants to commit to after the fact.
I just wonder if they want to get the kind of the roster that is going to be playing with Jason Tatum in line, especially if it's younger players, and just let them play. Like, if you're going to bring in younger players in the draft, free agency, whatever it may be, let those guys get the experience them play.
I would wholeheartedly disagree with that approach. And it's pure hoops, rather, with Terp, Justin Turpin, joining us here on WEEI, Jones and Keefe. I would just disagree with that. I would lean more towards where Keith is at, where I would try to win games this year. And, you know, the East is wide open. And I wouldn't just prioritize a youth movement and fitting the roster around Tatum, which I get is a long-term goal. But until I see the East have a significant hurdle there, the Knicks are beatable. Cleveland's beatable. Indiana's definitely beatable. I don't believe in Orlando. Detroit needs to add more. Those are the best teams in the East. I just listed them all. So they shouldn't just punt on this year to prioritize youth movement and getting kids out there.
I was just saying that could be
an alternative. But so yes. I'm not arguing with you. I would argue with that approach. If that's what they do, I would hate it.
I would totally agree. Like, they should be going for it. You have two Supermax players on the roster. You have Derek White on the roster. Like, there is still talent on this team. And I know it's tough with Jason Tatum out. I mean, we're going to see how important he is. But you still have players around on this team that can win you games. And you said it, the East is wide open. I mean, hell, if you look at the sportsbook odds, they're still top five finish projected. So, like, yeah, they should absolutely go for it. And you don't know if Tatum's going to come back. Like, I think it's a risky game to assume, like, all right, he's trending forward. Like, let's assume, like, it's risky to play like he's, like, take it like he's going to come back. But it's also, you don't know. Like, he could be coming in. Like, you could be a 4 or 5 seed at the worst, mm-hmm. and Jason Tatum can be coming in and joining a playoff team. So you have to keep that into consideration as well.
Simons, Niang, better chance one is on the team this season versus the other? Like, are they both gone? Like, what's your guess?
I mean, I would lean Simons because I think he is a potential asset in the future. When you look at Niang, like, that was strictly a salary
that
dump,
really was.
And no one's arguing to the contrary. Like, everyone's like, wow, that was, people are shocked it was such a salary dump for Porzingis. Like, they're not married to that guy.
But it does kind of set you up, it does in a way set you up to for more flexibility long term. Like, those are two, like, NBA players. Simon's a starter, Niang's a bench guy. You could play them, and then their contracts are up after the year. And, like, I feel like that
Niang's in your rotation, and Simon's is a starter.
Like,
and
you
could
do that.
A top 100-ish player in the league.
Right, Like, I don't think that's terrible.
I wrote this for WEI.com, Bragg.
Yep, there you go.
Bragg.
The other day. The fact that they were able to get under the second apron and not give out any of their picks that they had and add two rotational players is a win for Brad Stevens. I mean, the reality is they were going to get worse. There was no way around that. You're already down a starter from the championship team Jason Tatum.
Well, you subtracted two starters to get two rotation. No, I get that, but I'm just saying it's not a basketball win. It's a financial win.
A financial win. It's given the situation, but that's just kind of the nature of the league now in the CBA. Like, you have to look at that. You have to consider that. And I think people are overlooking the basketball penalties in this sense when you are retooling the roster. And you would have been doing it next year regardless, because were they going to hang on to Jrue Holiday the duration of that contract? They probably weren't. Like, that contract is not going to age well. Kristaps Porzingis was done next year.
Yeah.
It makes it really hard to build a new roster when you're so handicapped by these restrictions. So they did need to get out financially and for the basketball restrictions.
Maybe. They didn't have to do it today. They didn't have to do it now. They had until the trade deadline to sort that out. And my contention would be you could get that return for Porzingis, like a low-level contract, or even a better return. By waiting that out would be my contention, but it's a hard one to prove. Real quick, before we get some phone calls, and you can dial up Terp, any questions you have about tonight, about the Celtics this offseason, about moves to be made or moves they have made, 617-779-7937. We'll get there in a moment. You think Hauser moves tonight?
I think that would be one of the outcomes that are possible tonight. I would lean Hauser, Simons, or Niang, that if they are to make
a
move,
any one of those three could be in play tonight.
I think so. I wouldn't say Derek White or Jaylen Brown, but I think any of those three would be in play.
Terp's been trying to warn us about a lot of stuff, so one more time. So not Brown, not White, but any one of Hauser, Simons, or Niang could be in play tonight. Now, is that for a roster move, or is that to move up, like Bolpet was reporting?
Could be probably to move up. I think they're looking at the draft, like, and this is another thing, too, is, like, if you're going to be offloading guys, like, you want to get younger and you want to build through the draft, especially with what they're trying to do here. So, yeah, I think it could be for a draft pick and moving up tonight.
Okay. Let's get to some phone calls. 617-779-7937. Our pal Josh is in Nashville. Go ahead, Josh.
Jonesy Keith, this Terp guy. What up, fellas?
Hello, like, Josh.
This Terp
guy. Hello there. Terp guy. Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm putting some respect on his name. Like,
well, appreciate
you know.
That.
But, yeah, like, Boston and the NBA, like, what are we doing with Jaylen Brown still in Boston? Like, I've been on this take for friggin' years, man. Like, the man does not know how to friggin' dribble a friggin' basketball. The most essential thing that a basketball player should know how to friggin' do. Get him the hell out of here. Get him to Utah. Get him out.
Oh, get him out. Get him out.
The guy is drunk.
I mean, what are we doing?
Friggin' get him
We're
out of here.
We're still doing this.
He's very aggressive. Thing. No. Listen, Jones and I also traded Jalen Brown for about five straight
just
years.
Say,
I've stopped, though. No. I am a reformed Jalen Brown trader.
Well, what about for Cooper Flagg?
Well, I'll do that.
What about for Giannis?
Well, I'll do that.
What about for Devin Booker?
I would do that as well.
You're not totally reformed.
No, but to Utah for the fifth pick?
No, I'm not doing that.
Or even San Antonio for the second pick, which had been a rumor for a while.
Uh-huh.
I'm not doing any of those.
Sir, you're a pure hoops guy, as is well known.
Yep.
Purist.
What is the fundamental skill of a bat? Is it dribbling, to use his parlance, a friggin' basketball?
That is a fair assessment.
I would
say so.
Even more so than shooting.
You can't really get on the court if you can't dribble.
Please talk to Kyle Korver. I never saw the guy.
Clay Thompson once scored 71 points in a game without taking him one dribble.
I mean, I guess shooting.
Catch Reggie Miller come off a screen? Boom.
Oh, that's all you shooting.
Ray Allen barely dribbled.
Yeah. Shooting would be. It depends on your position, I guess. It's all kind of relative. Case by case.
They're all good skills. Jack is in Worcester. What's up, Jack?
Hey, Josh sounds like he's hunched over somewhere at a bus stop in Dorchester. But anyway, I just was calling to wonder if Simons or Hauser plus a combination of picks is enough to move up to get whoever Stevens is targeting. I mean, we trust him, I'm sure, more than just about anybody in the league to target a guy and pick the correct player to get.
Hang on. Do we?
In the draft.
Trust Stevens?
Well, Stevens hasn't had a lot of opportunities in the draft.
Do we trust him to do that? That's what he's saying.
He just made his first round selection last year. We really don't know anything about it at the end of it. Right.
Okay. But I'm not saying he can't. I'm not saying he can't do it. But I trust him more than anybody else to target a player and move up in the draft? No.
No, I wouldn't agree with that. I mean, we haven't seen it. We haven't seen it yet. And I don't know how much a Hauser and Simons get you into the top 10. I mean, teams are going to be calling to get in, and teams are also going to be looking to get back out. So there will be moves, but I just don't know if that's the deal that does it, especially with Simons on an expiring deal. I mean, we'll see how high up 28 and 32 can get you. But, Hauser, that's a tradable contract and an asset that teams are always looking for. Teams are always looking for shooters. Guys are going to be making, $10 million a year over the next four. He's never shot below 40% from three in his career. So there's going to be some interest with him, and that's a player that teams can always be looking to add. Now, that's also one that you can move at the trade deadline. And you don't really have to worry about the injuries as much with Sam Hauser, right? For the most part, he's been pretty healthy. I know he dealt with a couple things last year with the back and the ankle, but for the most part, he's been pretty healthy. And you were telling me at a contending team at the deadline next year wouldn't be interested in Sam Hauser, you'd be lying, right? Because every team's always looking to upgrade as a shooter, especially a three-point shooter that's consistent like Sam Hauser. So, I mean, I could also see them hanging on to Sam Hauser for that reason, because there will be suitors for him at the deadline if they so choose.
Here's another way to save money. Trade 28 and go into the second round or take a future first, because you were telling me, Terp, some of the money, there are four whatever below the second apron, even if they make the first
round
pick.
Right, so that's counting in the first
round. If they move that guaranteed money, there's savings right there, for precious savings for Bill Chisholm. What do you want him to do in the draft? Is there a name that you like or a player that you like, whether it's a move up, move back, stick and pick scenario? What do you want him to do?
I really would like to see them go with the big and kind of the Kristaps Porzingis archetype there. So I like Ryan Cockbrenner from Creighton, which we got a tweet about earlier on the show account. I saw that one.
Yes, true.
I also like Maxime Renaud. From Stanford, another one that's a shooter, can space the floor.
We got a call about him yesterday, Keith. I'm like, who's the Stanford? I'm like, is he talking about the Lopez twins? Like, who's the Stanford kid he's talking
about? Madsen? Remember Mark Madsen?
I do remember
Mark Madsen. He's a good Stanford player.
I've seen him now in a couple of different, I think John Giovanni had him in a mock draft. Gary Parrish, who I like, had him in a mock draft. I've seen him linked to the Celtics
a couple
of times.
And this could mean nothing, but I think it is worth something just noting, like that last year when they drafted Baylor Shireman and Anton Watson last year, they were both older prospects. Both of these guys are older. Cockbrenner was a fifth-year senior.
Jeez, dump that.
Again, sorry. And Reno was a senior
as well. Get him now out of here.
So the guy that the Illinois guard that Steve Volpett mentioned.
Yakachonis,
thank you. He's projected to be like a top 10 pick, right?
Right.
So if they were to go from 28, they'd have to go pretty high in order to get him. So, and also he's a freshman. So if they go back to their, 4-year model, you're more likely to get that guy at 28 or whatever, 24. If you move up a few picks, package your high second round pick somewhere in there. But yeah, if they get into the top 10, that's at least interesting. It's something that they're clearly targeting somebody there that they can bring in, and you would think would get good playing time.
It's near impossible to target anyone at 28, because whoever you're thinking about, Brooklyn's probably going to scoop up. They have five first-round picks.
And then they have like an early second, not that that really matters, but just like in that group of picks, they have like six of like 12 picks.
They're essentially drafting a summer league team.
That's
five or six.
Seven or eight. Good call.
That's going to be the Thunder in a couple years, right? Yeah. Like, the Thunder have like every pick. Thunder and like, who's out? Is it the Jazz?
Thunder have two picks. The Nets. In this draft,
and they're looking to move up this year.
Yeah, Thunder are already in the lottery, aren't they? I think they're already in the lottery.
Yeah.
And they just won the title. Mm-hmm. Now, look, 14 or wherever they're picking, how valuable is that? We can debate. But that's apparently where Brad Stevens is looking to move up to. I'm not telling you Brad can't do it, by the way. But he hasn't done it, which means there's other GMs I trust to target a guy and move up. But it'll be interesting on draft night. Any one of Hauser, Simons, or Niang could move tonight, Terp says. And he wants, what's the name again, Terp? Who do you want again on draft night?
I'm going to have to get the beep ready if I say it again.
Yeah, okay. Actually, we're not in the safe harbor. Don't say that again. We're already out of our dump button. Our dump allowance. Well, Terp, we appreciate the time. Pure Hoops, periodically in the offseason, every Wednesday during Celtics season. I will talk to you soon. Check out all his work at Justin Turpin on Twitter and all over WEEI as well. Thanks, Terp.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Terp.
All right, we'll get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. More on the latest from the Celtics. Are they looking to move into the top 10 or teams in the top 10 calling about Jaylen Brown and Derek White? We'll do all that right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
Friggin' do.